Good morning, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. My name is Tiana, and I, as always, I am joined by my lovely co-host and best friend, Katie. Katie, how are you, best friend, Katie? Katie, how are you today? It's been a while since we podcasted.
It has been. We've been very, very busy, but it's so good to be back. I'm back in the original podcast environment. I'm back home at the moment, so that's been great. How are you, T?
I am slaying as per usual. It's a bit, you know, the weather is not slaying. Australia and New Zealand weather just chooses not to slay sometimes, and today is one of them. This weekend is probably forecasted to not be that well, but we digress because it is race week, and you know where it's race week? One of my all-time favorite tracks in Suzuka, Japan. I'm so excited. I bet Katie is also excited. This is one of the first, this is like one of the other only Grand Prix's besides the Australian Grand Prix that is at a reasonable time for us. It's at like 3 o'clock for me, so 5 o'clock for Katie, which is pretty good, all things considered. We wake up at like 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning to watch races. So let's get into the Suzuka race weekend. Red Bull reliability issues. They were the talk of the town in Australia. Obviously, Max DNFing because of brake failure or brake issues. And he had talked several times throughout the weekend about how his brakes were kind of failing him, and that's why they replaced his brakes before quali, but then obviously they did not really work. And you could also see on Checo that he was struggling as well with his brakes and overheating issues. Katie, what do you think? Do you think that Red Bull, will this race be the redemption arc for Red Bull? Obviously, we saw last year's Japanese Grand Prix also following a horrific weekend for like Red Bull, obviously following Singapore. But what do you think about Red Bull and Japan?
I don't think they're going to make like a trend of it. They've been doing so well for however many years. I don't think it's going to like continue not being good for them. But yeah, I think it's an interesting point, and maybe they have, I think what we might be seeing is kind of like, hold on, let me put this up here. Like all the other teams are like,
going up, and they're just kind of becoming closer and closer and closer, which I think is
what we all predicted was going to happen this season. There was going to be less of that kind of 30-second gap every single race that we did see. Like, we are still seeing that from Max and Red Bull. But I think it will be – it's kind of the sign that maybe we're going to get a few more closer races.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think – it's not too often that you see Red Bull, especially in the past 2 to 3 years, have two bad weekends in a row. Obviously, yeah, exactly. I think both in the past 2 years, I think pretty much the most toughest weekends they've had were like Australia, Bahrain, and like Singapore, obviously. But even in Singapore in like 2022, Checo still won the race. Like, it was like Max didn't win, but Checo still won. So Red Bull, I think, will still be strong. And I think the Japanese Grand Prix is like a second home Grand Prix for Red Bull, obviously being Honda powered and everything like that. And yeah, I think that is a very important point. Like, I think they don't want to disappoint. And also the Japanese fans, like, they turn out. Like, there is no kind of I've seen a lot of people like talking about how like the Chinese Grand Prix doesn't like sell out tickets and stuff, and that they should not race in Asia. But then I'm like, you look at races like Singapore and you look at races like Japan. Japan has always had one of the strongest fan bases, even before Drive to Survive. So I think it is a very important, like, I think that it's one of my favorite races for that reason. But I do think that we will probably see like a similar Japanese Grand Prix to last year, where like Red Bull absolutely dominate, like, because it's just trying to make up for what happened in Australia. And fair enough, I do hope that we get some, like, I do hope we get an interesting race. But I think Suzuka, and it's going to be raining, will promise to be a quite
intense.
It's
always raining with Suzuka though, isn't it?
Yeah, except for last year. Last year was the only like exception, but this year because of like,
and I think the drivers like racing in Japan. Mm-hmm. I think they actually enjoy racing, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, like, a lot of that, I think something big as well, like, a lot of drivers say, a lot of the races that they really love is due to the fans' atmosphere as well. And like I said, the fans' atmosphere in Suzuka is, like, unmatched. Obviously, like, you have the fans that take it a bit too far. But then also, it's just, like, it's, like, cool to watch them, like, be actual celebrities. And, like, they're like, oh, my gosh, like, this is really cool. But, yeah, I think I think Red Bull will ultimately have to turn it around. I don't see them struggling. And I don't think anyone really can see them struggling for longer than one race, maybe two races. But I think they'll fix the car. It's not the end of the world. And I think something that is really funny as well, I want to know which team you think it is. But Will Buxton is essentially reporting that Williams isn't the only team that is traveling with no spare chassis. Obviously, we saw in Australia that there was only that Williams did not have enough spare parts and they did not have a spare chassis to fix Alex Albon's car, which obviously saw Logan Sargeant sit out in place of Alex Albon, and now he is driving Alex Albon's old car instead of his car, which I think is strange. But anyways, but there's another team on the grid who is traveling without a chassis, but we have not obviously worked it out because they have not had a massive crash. Which team do you think is traveling without a spare chassis? That's what I want to know.
Well, I think there's only one obvious answer. It would be Haas, right?
Yeah, I think Haas or Sauber. Haas, like,
oh, yeah, that's a good point, Sauber.
Like, mate, they don't even have enough front wings. Like, it's got to be Sauber. Like, that's my, like Sauber just sucks. I'm so sorry, but like,
Sauber's having,
it's got to be one of them. Yeah, they are. And I think, like, I always feel bad for the teams at the end of the grid because obviously they can't really do anything about funds. And I do understand, like, when James Vowles was talking about it, although I was mad about the fact that he was sacrificing Logan Sargeant, it does make sense. It's like, they do not have the money or the funds to be putting into their car and then to taking spare parts across the world. Obviously, for the European races, it'll be fine. Like, they'll all have their spare chassis. But for the flyaway races like Bahrain, Jeddah, Australia, China, Japan, like any of the United States Grand Prix, I feel like that is the harder thing for them because it costs money, obviously. And I don't think they have the funds to do that. I don't think a lot of teams have the funds to do that unless you're like in the top five, maybe top eight. Like, yeah. I think the bottom two teams really struggle because especially when, no offense to any driver, but I do think that the bottom two teams, they do crash a lot and they do have a lot of reliability issues with their car. So, like, they're going to spend about, like, I think Williams went over a lot last year with their, with crash damages. And that's, like, no offense to Logan Sargeant, but he did crash a few times that season. Yeah. And, like, I think, like, I don't know. I just think that they did go over money and it makes sense to me. And I don't understand why people were flaming, like, Ted Kravitz in that interview annoyed me so much. Like, he was just, like, flaming him consistently. Like, you're not answering my questions, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't make sense. Why would you not bring spare parts? I'm like, chill out. Like, do you not understand that this is actually, like, put everything into perspective. And then, like, James Vowles actually made probably the right decision into bettering. If you, Katie, I'm going to pose a question to you. Say you're James Vowles and you get the moral dilemma of, and you get the moral dilemma of taking spare parts to a Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
Or potentially making your car about 500 seconds quicker. Like, 500ths of a second quicker.
500 seconds quicker?
500ths of a second, sorry. Quicker. Which one are you choosing? Especially, and knowing that.
So it's basically like, are you putting the trust in your car or your drivers?
Drivers. And yeah.
Well, obviously, you'd make your car faster because you. Yeah. You're saying, I've got the good drivers, they're not going to crash, and then they do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think it's definitely hard, and that's why I'm not a team principal.
Yeah. Fair enough. I think the major thing is as well, like, 500ths of a second, if that's even it. Like, even, like, the smallest margins, if you can make your car faster, you're wanting to do that, especially when you're in the midfield or the mid-pack. Because say Haas and, like, Williams, they're always, like, separated, or anyone, like, below the top 10 are always separated by small margins. And even to make it into the top 10 sometimes, obviously they're not going to be fighting Max Verstappen in a Red Bull, or they're not going to be fighting, like, someone like McLaren or something like that, but they will be fighting, like, other teams. And I think that's why it is so important. Anyways, I digress. So let's talk about the strong contenders for the Japanese Grand Prix. Katie, who are your strong contenders for the Japanese Grand Prix?
Red Bull, but we spoke about that. I don't know. McLaren, maybe? I feel like they're definitely showing some consistency.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I think, like, obviously McLaren have had a great start to the season, obviously. Mm. After last year, I think anything would be better than their start to the 2023 season. But I think, obviously, this showed, like, obviously getting the podium in Australia for Lando Norris. Like, although they are the third best team at the moment, they're still the third best team. Like, that is still, like, they're beating the competitors of Alpine, which were their main competitors in the past 2 years. Which, I mean, they're beating them by a long shot, too.
Yeah.
And they're beating Mercedes and Aston Martin. Even like Aston Martin at the end of the season was their main competitor last year, and they're beating them now, and they're beating Mercedes, which was quite a while away for them, like in terms of last year, which I think is quite cool, and I think it's quite amazing to see the progress of McLaren. And I think both Oscar and Lando both trust in the team and trust in the car that it will get better and that they will be challenging for wins. And obviously that first win of Lando's and also that first win of Oscar's is very important to both the team and the drivers and everyone just in general to that team. So I do think we're going to see a strong weekend for them. I think Suzuka is ultimately a track, we saw that last year, that suits the McLaren as well. Obviously, yeah. Zach Brown said that Australia didn't suit them, but then they came out, put it P3 and P4. Like, that's still a pretty good effort if a track doesn't suit you. So I think, like, tracks like Japan, tracks like Suzuka is Japan, bro. Tracks like Japan, tracks like Qatar, all of the, like, maybe Silverstone even, they will all suit the car. Like, I think that Zach Brown and everyone in McLaren have said that. And yeah, I think if Verstappen and if Red Bull do have an off weekend by some wild, like, something happening, I do think that maybe, just maybe, we see a first win for either Lando Norris or Oscar Piastri. But am I living in delusion? Yes. And I do hope it happens. Yeah, we have to, like, it has to happen. And yeah, and I also think someone that is a very underrated group of people at the moment is the Ferrari team. Like, obviously they're sitting P2, they can never be underrated in the eyes of the Tifosi, whatever. And you know what I mean? Like, they will never be underrated. But right now, like, I think that they have potential to do really well. And I think fight me on this, but I think this season might be more close in terms of Ferrari and Red Bull than the 2022 season was.
I'm gonna fight you on that.
Yeah, I know. Like, you won't fight me on it, but, like, people will. Someone will fight me on this. And, like, just let me speak. Because at the end of the day, I think Red Bull in 2022 just were too good. They were just better than Ferrari, and Ferrari had a lot to learn. I think Ferrari hadn't been close to winning a Constructors or a World Drivers' Championship since way back in the day. Like, we're talking, like, years and years and years, maybe even decades. And They weren't used to what Red Bull was throwing at them. And I think you ultimately can see that over the course of the 2022 season, because a lot of the mistakes made, yes, they were made by Ferrari's team, which was the biggest error, like their strategists and stuff. You wouldn't see Red Bull strategists making those same errors. And then the drivers themselves, like, I love Charles Leclerc, I really do. But at the end of the day, Charles Leclerc made so many mistakes in 2022. Like, you think about the French Grand Prix, you think about Imola. He made a lot of mistakes, and he will admit that to you himself. And you didn't see Max Verstappen making those same mistakes, and that's why Max Verstappen has 3 drivers' championships and Charles Leclerc has 0. And I think they learnt a lot from that. Sorry, that was a bit violent, but, like, yeah, that's just, like, that's the truth. And I think they learnt a lot from that in 2022, and I think that's what will make them better in 2024. There I say, the championship will be closer. I've now jinxed it. I bet I've now jinxed it, saying that now. Like, it's going to be, like, by 400 points or something like that. But I think Ferrari will also have a good weekend, obviously. They had a 1-2 in Australia, which, statistically, every single team who has won a 1-2 finish in Australia has gone on to win the Drivers' and Constructors' Championship. It is one of the funniest stats ever, and I'm choosing to live in delusion because that will happen. But, yeah.
It'll be cool.
And we do have a Japanese driver on the grid this year. Well, we've had a Japanese driver on the grid for a few years now. But Yuki Tsunoda. I'm not sure if Yuki Tsunoda has ever scored points at home. I think maybe one time. But I know for sure last year and the year before he did not score points at Suzuka. I think he, like, just missed out in the top 10 both times. And V-Carb, where do we think they're going to finish? Do we think they're going to improve on their standings at the moment? Do you think that, where do you think they're going to finish? Do you think they will be somewhat better in Suzuka, or do you think ultimately see them being the same?
I don't know. I feel like there's something about a driver being at home that just, like, feels something inside of them. So I think they will get points, or at least be driving in the points at some stage, I feel like, you know. They'll just get there at some stage. And imagine, like, the Japanese crowd would go wild. But I think I'm hoping that he does. Not so sure about the other V carb car, but we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. The Danny Riggs wish name, she's been thrown into the spanner over the course of the few days because, if you don't know, Katie is – no, that's not what I meant to say. But anyways, Katie is Kiwi. Katie is Kiwi. And Kiwi. with the rumors circulating that Daniel Ricciardo may be replaced by Liam Lawson, it is a hard time for Katie because she's
Kiwi. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this before we got – on here. I was thinking, I know Tiana's gonna ask me like, what do I want to happen, and I'm like, I was sitting there thinking it's such a moral dilemma because Daniel is like my favorite driver, like I love him so much, and like there was a point in time where I wanted nothing more than for him to be back, like last year when he replaced Nick. I was like, oh my god, this is so amazing, like I'm so excited he's back. And then Liam's from New Zealand, and Liam's young and cool and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And New Zealand, when he gets to race that car, it goes wild. Like, there is nothing more than, like, stronger than, like, the mana we feel, like, the strength, I guess, and the, like, pride we feel when someone Kiwi is doing something on the world stage. So, I think that I've gotten to watch Daniel race a lot, and I'm not going to be upset either way. And like, I can remember, like, I'm not going to be upset either way.
Yeah.
So I don't really mind, I guess.
I think
I want Liam
to race. And I think you make a fair point. And I think, look, the rumours, or whoever started the rumours, it was proved to be false. But that does not mean that Daniel Ricciardo's seat is not in jeopardy for the 2025 season. I think he's not going to be replaced mid-season. I think Christian Horner, that's why when the first bit of rumours came out, I was like, as if Christian Horner is letting this happen mid-season. Like, although Red Bull don't have that much control over AlphaTauri or V-Carb, they do still have that little bit of control because it is their sister team. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, as if Christian Horner right now is going to sit there and allow Daniel Ricciardo to get dropped mid-season. Like, that's not happening. And I think something that is very important, like, also, like you said, we both were really upset. I'm Australian, so I was upset when Daniel Ricciardo did not race and left McLaren and everything like that. And there's no denying that that was a tough period for Daniel and everything like that. But at the end of the day, I think the 2023 season and not having him race and just having him as media personality more kind of emphasized to me that while I do love Daniel Ricciardo as a race car driver, I think I love him more as a media personality than I like him as a driver.
Just gets a job for Sky Sports.
Yeah, like, and I think that's the thing, like, he would be suited towards that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not, like, say if Oscar Piastri, like, say when Kimi Raikkonen retired, Kimi Raikkonen's not going to go into, like, Sky Sports and be, like, the Sky Sports, like, people. No, he's not going to do that. Like, that's just not who he is. Whereas someone like Daniel Ricciardo could very well do that and very well enjoy his time and still be connected to the sport in some way in that aspect. And even during his time out, when he was, when he was not racing, he still did that. Like, he did a bunch of things with ESPN and stuff like that. So I think that's a good option. And I do think that at the end of the day, something that annoys me as well is the fact that Yuki performs well in that car, but it's not Yuki is performing well. It is Daniel is underperforming. So it's like, why are we not giving Yuki credit for doing well in that car? Like, I know that the car doesn't suit Daniel, whatever. I feel bad saying this, but for the past 2 years, you cannot say, or the past two teams you were at, you cannot say that the car does not suit you when your entire job is to race the car that you were given. Do you know what I mean? I know it's only three races into the season. He will learn. I think these next few races are very important for him because he will obviously want to score points and want to do well. But I don't know. I just think, and I think that Liam Lawson has shown several times throughout his career. And I think that something that is very important for Red Bull here is that they don't enter another Alpine situation, because entering another Alpine situation is quite risky, and it could happen with half the grid off contract. Like, there are going to be people who want Liam Lawson in their team. And yeah, if Red Bull don't want him, it's going to be, see you later, he's going to another team.
Oh, of course.
And, like, I think that's the thing. This is why I think Mercedes did what they did with Lewis Hamilton and the Kimi Antonelli situation. Because the second Kimi Antonelli gets a super license, there's going to be teams, every single team on that grid who does not have a driver is going to want to sign Kimi Antonelli. And that's why they only offered, I reckon that's why they did it. I reckon that they didn't want a second situation with Alpine to happen. And I think they were like,
do you really think that Kimi's that marketable?
I think that, yeah, because a lot of teams have been watching him since way back in Freca. Like, that's like,
yeah, but he's always been... other teams have that much trust in him that they will, that they want to sign him as a rookie?
I have no idea with that one, but I do know that probably, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not denying that, after
like a couple years in another team, he might be ready.
Be a good driver. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
1 year in F2.
And yeah, like, yeah, yeah, I know.
I'm just going to chuck him in a Red Bull, see what happens. I don't think so.
I think, like,
but I saw something, I don't know what it was. It was something about, like something about Max Verstappen or something, and just saying that, like, it's, like, just sign them to your team and, like, figure it out, you know? And I think next year, I think it was also Will Buxton talking about how there's obviously the new regulations in 2026. So next year's kind of a write-off anyway. As in, like, it's the last year. Everyone's getting a new car in 2026. You might as well have a write-off year this year. Get Kimi used to the team, blah, 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 blah. And then be, like, George and Kimi in 2026. Yeah. I agree. Like, I do think that we're going to sign Kimi. But it would just be interesting. I don't know.
Yeah. And I think what Max is, like, what Max, the thing with Max is, Max got signed straight from F3. He didn't even do F2. He got signed straight from F3 to Red Bull. He didn't do AlphaTauri, he didn't do Toro Rosso. He went straight to Red Bull. Like, and now you look at him, obviously, back, oh gosh, like, in his early days at Red Bull, yes, he had the temper. Yes, he did crash a lot. Yes, he did all of the things that that people hate Max Verstappen for doing, because that was what he was. And he did not have the maturity. But I think what he's saying is, put them in the car, because at the end of the day, the only experience they're going to get and the only way they're going to get better is to be in the car. And I think that is so important as well. Like, putting someone on the sidelines and letting them be on the sidelines for so long is not going to do them any favors. The only way that you can get experience in Formula One is to race in Formula One. You cannot, as much as you can do simulator work, as much as you can look at the data, as much as you can analyze it, the only way to get real experience in Formula One is to race in Formula One. And that's something that is so annoying when you get, like, juniors, like Nick De Vries, for example. When he got dropped mid-season, people were like, yeah, but he's an experienced driver. Yeah, he's experienced in Formula E. He's experienced in Formula 2. He's experienced in Formula 3. He's not experienced in Formula 1. He cannot. Like, he still needs that time to settle in. And I think it is so important. And I think I don't understand why teams do this or fans do this. Why are we judging people based on their first, like, in their first year? Like, yes, we have seen an outstanding rookie in Oscar Piastri. Like, there is no denying the fact that Oscar Piastri is amazing. He's the best rookie we have seen since Lewis Hamilton. But not, Max Verstappen wasn't the best rookie we had seen since Lewis Hamilton, and he is still a three-time World Drivers' Champion. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it takes time for people to grow and come accustomed to the car, come accustomed to the team, come accustomed to race weekend, because although they have been racing in Formula 2 and Formula 3 and other series of motorsport for long periods of time, it's nothing like an F1 weekend. And I think a lot of drivers, especially like someone like Liam Lawson, he will tell you that. He will tell you that compared to his Super Formula weekend and his Formula 2 weekend, it's way different to a Formula 1 weekend. And I think, I don't know. I think the Alpine situation with Oscar Piastri is one of the biggest domino effects we will see in Formula 1, but we won't realize it now. And I think a lot of teams probably just sat back, watched it unfold, and was like, a lot of team principals in particular sat back, watched that unfold, and was like, that really started the downfall for Alpine. I don't want that to be my team. I don't want that to happen to me, because it's a really tricky situation to be in, and I don't want that to happen to me. So I think that's why we're seeing a lot of drivers and a lot of junior drivers as well just kind of being that, like, no longer being that reserve driver role for that long. But anyways, that's what I've been thinking about. And Daniel Ricciardo and V Cup, we get so sidetracked. It's amazing. So Now, on to our Japanese Grand Prix podium predictions. Katie, start us off. Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to be on the podium for the Japanese Grand Prix?
I think Max back on top. Angry Max. He's just going to be driving like a little torpedo straight through from wherever he starts, which will probably be pole.
Yep.
Just nothing to lose. He's got to prove to himself more than literally anybody else, I think.
Yeah.
I just feel like Max, like, he knows. The general public knows that he's good. He just, like, is just doing all for himself now and his team.
Yeah.
So Max, I don't know. I don't think Chico will be on the podium, so I think Max.
So no Red Bull 1-2s again?
Nah. So I think Max, maybe a Ferrari, so let's say Charles, because I like him more. And I don't know, maybe Carlos as well. I like Carlos as well.
Yeah.
One of my fave drivers. Yeah.
Okay.
That's 1-2-3.
I like that podium. I think, obviously, you'd be really dumb to predict a podium and not say that Max Verstappen is winning the race. Like, I just think, unless you're, like, midway into the weekend and Max Verstappen has been consistently putting it P20, I don't think that you... I think you're pretty dumb to be, like, saying, oh, Max Verstappen's not going to win. But anyways. So, Max Verstappen win, as per usual. Business as normal. I think that's what it's going to return to. And then I think Lando Norris P2, because I am... delusional, maybe. Actually, we'll put Oscar Piastri P2 because I can't keep doing the fact that Lando Norris is the driver that has the most podiums without a win, so we're gonna not give him a podium for a significant amount of time. So Oscar Piastri P2 and Carlos Sainz P3. I think maybe a Mercedes if they really wanted to. I think Mercedes might potentially have time to slay. Yeah. But Mercedes have also just not been killing the game recently, so I don't know. It's hard for me to guess because in my mind, the only three teams that have been doing well, like, consistently are Red Bull, Ferrari, and McLaren. And, like, by that I mean neither of their drivers, besides Red Bull, neither of their drivers have DNF'd, like, several times throughout the season, or DNF'd because of a driver failure, and... neither of them have failed to score points, like, in any of the three race weekends. But I digress. Anyways, Katie, it is time for your time to shine.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another segment of Drive of Your Life. You do a lot of driving in your life. Some people do a little more driving than the average person are the F1 drivers. My question to you, Tiana, is which F1 driver, past or present, would you like to drive you around their home track? So we're talking like Yuki around Suzuka, Daniel around Albert Park, you know.
Okay. Oh, that's hard. I don't know. I feel like it's going to be one of the British drivers in Silverstone because I love Silverstone. No, actually, you know what? I'm going to go so left wing right now. Logan Sargeant in Miami. He's driving me around Miami.
Yeah, that.
Because that's his, like, that's his home track as well. It's like, you know how Oscar Piastri's home track is, like, Albert Park? Like,
yeah.
His is Miami. So I will, although I'm a Miami Grand Prix hater because I hate that track, Logan Sargeant can drive me around Miami. Katie, what's yours?
Charles Leclerc and Monaco.
Oh, yeah, that's such a good idea when I think of that. I love Monaco. Oh gosh, I feel like I feel like a lot of drivers though have really cool home tracks. Like even like Carlos Sainz in Barcelona.
Oh yeah,
that would be good. Or like who else has a good one? I don't know. Max Verstappen around Zandvoort.
No, I feel like it's boring.
You don't like Zandvoort? I love Zandvoort.
Yeah,
I just like the bankings. Like I like how it's so steep. Anyways, I'm just a. Anyways, or who's Italian? No one's Italian, eh? No, this grid, so no one can take us around.
You just say a past one. You can still do past. So
Antonio Giovinazzi. I like how we both went the same way. We couldn't think of any other Italian drivers. Who else? Like I feel like I don't know. Like I can't think of anyone. Anyways, who's Belgian? Oh, like isn't like Max Verstappen kind of Belgian?
Lando?
Yeah, they both. Oh, that would have been good. I would have gone around Spa. Anyways, missed opportunities, Tiana. Anyways. Thank you for joining us on this very special and fun episode of From the Field to the Track. We really hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you watch the Japanese Grand Prix. It is on this weekend.
Enjoy Suzuka, everybody.
Enjoy the Suzuka Grand Prix. We love you always. So make sure you like, subscribe, so we can keep up to date with the podcast. Love you always. See you in the next one. Bye.